Welcome to the Fearfully and Wonderfully Me podcast, a podcast designed to help you increase your influence, develop your leadership, and maximize your results. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I wanted to do just a quick podcast as we, you know, we're starting to get into the new year. We're a few weeks along into January of 2022. And, you know, it's awesome to feel the momentum of the new year. And I always like to reflect, of course, as I'm sure as everyone does, on goals for the year. And, you know, maybe we call them New Year's resolutions, but I really like to reflect on goals for the year. And wanted to do a quick podcast and just share with you one of my goals that I've actually the first part of the goal, actually, this was a two-part goal. The first part of the goal was to qualify to run the Boston Marathon. And the second part is to actually run it, right? So some of you have heard a little bit of my story where, you know, I grew up with a sexually abusive father and who, you know, started sexually abusing me as young as 12, and that abuse progressed. And at some point in my life, he was trafficking me. But aside from that, one of the things that impacted me growing up is my father was always very critical of my physical coordination or abilities or athletic giftedness and, you know, or lack thereof, right? He always, you know, I grew up with him telling me that I was clumsy, that I would never be able to do anything athletically, that I didn't have any coordination, that I was just not ever going to be gifted physically as an athlete or in anything athletic endeavor. And I believed that, you know, I kind of adopted that as a limiting belief of myself, where at some point I just allowed that limitation to define how I saw myself. I would tell people, I'm like, I'm not really good at running, for example. I'm just, you know, not athletic. I'm not good at tennis or anything like that. And it took many years to be able to, number one, really become aware of how that limiting belief was in fact limiting me in so many areas of my life, but certainly most impactful in the physical dimension, right? I viewed myself as not good at athletic endeavors. And so I wasn't good at being athletic. And I really remember kind of the turning point. You know, I had gotten into working out and group fitness about the age of 19. And that really helped me, especially after the first few years after I left home, it helped me build some confidence and start to take control of my physical health and things like that. So that was really a very positive influence in me. But in 2008, I was attending a group fitness class, and one of the instructors before class was going around talking to people, and she just, you know, I was sharing with her how much I enjoyed the class, and, you know, I was seeing some good results and all that. And, you know, she just really rocked my world when she said, well, why don't you go get certified to teach? And I thought, I couldn't do that. And then I thought, well, maybe I could do that, right? Here's this person that I looked up to, this athletic instructor whose class I, you know, really enjoyed and appreciated. And she just always had so much enthusiasm, and she was a great instructor. And that moment, something shifted, because it was a possibility that she planted, right? A seed that she planted. And I thought, well, maybe I could, you know, become an instructor. And so I did. I went through the certification process, and honestly, you know, it was one of those things that when you get through it, that you're just so proud of yourself for sticking through it. You know, it's grueling. You have to learn a lot. I was definitely uncomfortable throughout that process, but I did it. And that kind of was a turning point for me in realizing that, hey, I might not be the world's greatest athlete, right? But limiting beliefs are those things that we adopt that hold us back simply because we believe them. And for me, that was kind of a big step forward in overcoming that limiting belief and saying, you know what, maybe I'm not the world's greatest athlete, but I can be better. And actually, I might be pretty good at doing athletic things and, you know, taking really my physical health to another level. Well, that was the first step. And then I started, you know, just being intentional. Once I became an instructor, I was much more intentional with my physical fitness and teaching classes and going to the gym regularly. And I did a little running. I still would have told people I'm not great at running. And I had, you know, another instructor at the time, just, you know, we were kind of teaching the same classes and we were, you know, friends outside of that too. But, you know, we would do a little bit of running and that's kind of a way to increase our fitness outside of the classes we were teaching. And we did a half marathon. Well, first we did a 10K together, which is 6 miles, a little over 6 miles we ran together. And then we wanted to, you know, try a little bigger goal. And so we both signed up for a half marathon, which is 13 miles. And it was honestly, it was not a great experience. It was hot. I remember it was in Florida in October and it was really, really, really hot. Or at least I thought it was. And the water, the aid stations ran out of water. And the worst part of it is we had been told that this was going to be a flat course. And it was for the most part. But the race started and finished over this huge, massive bridge. And so, you know, going out, you don't really notice it because you're just starting the race. But coming back, that was like the last half mile was climbing up that huge, massive bridge, step by step, inch by inch. And of course, no water, hot, thirsty. It was just, it took more than 2 hours. I think it was about 2 hours and 12 minutes for me to finish. Well, I realized that maybe I could actually run, but I wasn't going anywhere very fast. So I hired a running coach to really help me work on my form and things like that. Because of course, the next thing was once we'd accomplished that half marathon, we wanted to go for a full marathon, right? 26 miles of running. So I hired a running coach and worked on, you know, my running form. And we completed the full marathon and it took me more than 5 hours to finish that full marathon, 26 miles. There again, it wasn't the greatest of experiences. It rained most of the way. I think it rained from like mile 5 until mile 21 or something like that. So we're talking 5 hours of wet, soggy shoes, you know, just yuck. But you know, it was an incredible sense of accomplishment. I kind of put running aside for a while after that. Mac and I were just doing some biking and some bike racing. And, you know, that was a great season where we were doing a lot of mountain biking racing and really enjoying that. And then as we transitioned, you know, from both of our respective careers and we transitioned more into speaking and writing books and things like that, there was a season where we really had to put aside mountain biking, certainly competing, because we were putting all of our time and energy and focus on, you know, building our brand and writing books and speaking and things like that. So we didn't have time to be mountain bike racing every weekend anymore. And that's okay. That season, that chapter just kind of came to a close. Well, as it did, and then ultimately we moved. At some point, we started getting so busy that traveling and speaking that I realized I really could no longer teach group fitness. And it was one of those sacrifices that we know we should make. And I knew the time had come that I needed to just stop teaching group fitness classes. I couldn't give them as much time and energy as I felt like they deserved with my travel and speaking schedule. And so that season, as a group fitness instructor, came to a close as well. And that really opened the door to a little more opportunity, certainly, to focus on my running, because now I had more time to dedicate to my own fitness. So I started running with a lot more intention. And what was interesting is that even then, I believed that I wasn't a real runner. But the more I started to run and the more in alignment I started to put my behaviors and my habits with those who, you know, were the behaviors and habits of someone who was a real runner, the better results I got, right? So the more I started to act like it, the more I became it. And that was a powerful shift for me, because I think a lot of times in life, we want to wait, or we do wait. You know, whatever the career we want, or maybe you want to write a book or become a writer or become a coach or something like that. You have to adopt the behaviors and the habits and make the choices. You have to be the person you want to be before you get to be that person that you want to be. But the more you can bring yourself in alignment with how that person would act, believe, what they would do, what choices would they make, the easier it is to grow into that person. And so the more intentionality I brought to my eating habits, right? What would a real runner eat? You know, how would a real runner, would they would get more sleep. They would be careful about rest days, you know, and the more intentionality I brought to that, the better results I got and the better results I got and the better results I got. And then in 2019, I ran a marathon fast enough to qualify for the Boston Marathon. And that was an incredible runner's dream. It's one of the most prestigious marathons. Non-runners have probably never heard of it. Some of you may have heard of it, even if you're not a runner. But the thing about the Boston Marathon is, number one, you have to qualify. So you have to run a marathon fast enough to qualify for your age and your division. And they only take the top fastest people from every category, because there's a limited number of slots. And so they take the fastest people from every group. So even if you qualify, does not mean you actually get in. And so in 2019, I ran a marathon to actually qualify, but my margin for qualifying wasn't very big. And then of course, 2020 happened, the pandemic happened. No, I don't think hardly anybody was running marathons after March of 2020. And the Boston Marathon that year was virtual. The following year, they had a very, very limited field. Again, because of the pandemic and trying to be cautious, they had a much, much smaller field. And so that means only half, I think, people who normally would have been accepted actually got in 2021. And I was not one of those people. And that was okay, right? Sometimes we are striving for something and we're working for something and we don't get it as soon as we want or as soon as we expect it. And we can't give up, right? That's the thing, is we cannot give up, because sometimes we're so close and the moment we quit is the moment it becomes a failure, right? If we don't quit, then it's not a failure. And so in 2021, I was like, you know what? I didn't get in. I achieved part one of this dream, right? I actually did qualify, but I didn't have a fast enough time to be accepted with a limited field. And then I reapplied again in 2022. I just got the notification a few weeks ago that I've been accepted for the 2022 marathon. And so, you know, there again, I'm sharing this because I hope it inspires you to just take a look at some of your limiting beliefs about yourself, whether that's physical and your physical health as we, you know, rush into 2022. What goals do you have for yourself? And let me challenge your thinking relative to those goals. A lot of people have health goals, but a lot of times they think, well, I'll never be the size I want or as healthy or as I want because of whatever, X, Y, Z. But I want to challenge your thinking relative to the goals that you have for yourself, because there again, most of the time you've heard the cliche, if you believe it, you can achieve it. That might not be true for quite everything, but if you don't believe it, then you won't ever achieve it because you won't act like it. And I've said that time and time again, even on this podcast, but it's, you know, I share this story and this example with you because this is a principle that has played out in my life. And this is a really great tangible example of how, as I started to challenge that limiting belief and change my mindset, my behaviors, my habits, I started getting different results in life. So whatever results that you want to get, start thinking about what's your mindset relative to those results. What choices are you making? What habits are you creating? Are they helping you in achieving those goals, or are they harming you, right? Your habits either serve you or they enslave you. Relative to whatever it is you want to accomplish this year, I just want to challenge that mindset, right? That limiting belief that you cannot achieve it. Because as long as you believe you cannot achieve it, you won't ever act like it. And therefore it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and you never will achieve it. Until next time.